College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss week 10 of the college football season. We're going to start with some recap from a really crazy week in the sport. We had a major, well, fairly major upset, I'd say. Of course, Notre Dame was ranked fourth, but let's be honest, when they've had to step up against the Bamas, against all the top-tier teams, they've usually fallen short. Not this week, 47-40 in double overtime. They get the W. They storm the field. You know, it is what it is when it comes to that. Also, Georgia went down, and that wasn't as tight a game down the stretch. 44-28, the Gators found some resemblance of a defense. We knew they had offense up the yin-yang. So that was big. And then here's, you want to talk about a shocker to an extent. I shouldn't say a full shocker, because we know Michigan is not Michigan, even from a couple of years ago. But did we know Indiana is something? Like, for real, for real? Well, now we do. Not only did they beat them, they pretty much just handled them. 38-21. And it's funny, because I like, from a PJ Fleck perspective, that Notre Dame win keeps old boy there for a long, long time. I really, truly believe that, or at least long enough. But this Michigan item here is really starting to worry me a little bit that PJ Fleck doesn't row his boat down the street. The USC-Arizona State game was very close. Last 3 minutes, that was 128-27 with USC. Couple of other really tight games, the Texas-West Virginia game, a variety of them. Iowa State-Baylor, Iowa State's having a great season. And then the Liberty, who I think this is their first week as a ranked team. And 38-35, and the ending that is just nuts when you see that. And there was a variety of other items that we'll get to as well. We'll run some numbers. And then we're going to look till next week. Now, on paper, there actually isn't a rank versus rank game. And you can kind of see why. Like, you know, Alabama and LSU are playing, but we know that doesn't, you know, when they got the schedules figured out in you know, way ahead in advance, they were thinking this is going to be a major game. That's not going to be a major game. But that's not to say that we won't get some upsets. We may get more upsets than you think, but we will look at that. We'll preview and predict some games. We'll also just kind of keep an eye on the spread, against the spread stuff from a gambling standpoint. And then, of course, the crafty, crappy pick of the week. And my co-host better not come with some 15-point game spread. That's what I do know. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we're going to get into it in just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoveradio. However, you don't have to just go to Blog Talk and download it there or listen to it in the browser. You can find this podcast about college football under the Ropeadope Radio podcast at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, really across the board almost. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast, which can be found almost everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. One more thing before we get to breaking down week 10. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. The plans start as low as $55 a month. They got the cloud DVR right now. If you sign up, it's a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. Another layer to the deal, then we'll get to football. If you sign up for the Max package, that'll include HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month on this platform. It's called AT&T TV Now. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host to the show here now and get his take on a variety of things. Obviously, like I said, we will be breaking down week 11 and all the against the spread, hardcore barn burner type games and all that good stuff. But a couple of games to just point out, obviously, the Notre Dame, Clemson, the Florida, Georgia, and, of course, Indiana with a huge, huge upset. But let's focus on one against four at the time. Like I said, Brian Kelly, just give him another extension. Crazy game, though. The backup quarterback once again for Clemson because Lawrence is out with COVID. I think he's back next week. But, oh, boy, DJ went 29 of 44 and threw for 439. The biggest surprise on this one, obviously the stud running back for Clemson, they couldn't get him going, and he also fumbled. I mean, that's what a lot of this came down to when you look at the numbers, when you run the numbers, 3-1 on the turnovers, and they were all fumbles. But like I said, to only have 16 carries, 28 yards, that's something. And on the flip side, Book had some rushing yards, which we know he can do. He aired it out as well. But Williams, 23 of a 140, 3 touchdowns and 6.5 per carry. What'd you think about this? You know, Notre Dame has fallen short in the last, say, 10 years in the big, big, big game, and usually got their ass kicked. Miami a couple years ago when Miami was undefeated, Alabama in the national championship, but it wasn't going to happen this week.
Yeah, I really thought, Chris, that it was in the fourth quarter when I believe the game was tied, and Ian Book at Notre Dame was rushing in for a touchdown and got stripped on the 2-yard line. I really thought Notre Dame was going to lose after that. And then Notre Dame also was stopped and had to give the ball back to Clemson. And Clemson made a couple of just really dumb, stupid plays. Clemson easily could have ran the clock out and never gave Notre Dame the ball back. But so we're in a situation where Clemson was up 7 near the end of the game, but like both defenses, it got torched. But for this situation, Notre Dame had to try to get the ball back for their offense. And on second down, Clemson, obviously, one thing you can't do when you're trying to run the clock out, Chris, is make a penalty because the penalty stops the clock. So Clemson takes a dumb holding penalty, which saves Notre Dame time on the clock with about 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes to go. And then on third down, Clemson's running back runs out of bounds. So if Clemson had taken 3 knees in a row, there would have been about 30 seconds left for Notre Dame to get the ball, to get a touchdown with like no timeouts on the clock or no timeouts left. But it was a.
But it would have been more than that because their last drive was a minute 26.
For what?
To score, to tie the game on an 8-play drive, a minute 26 to force overtime. I'm right. Yeah.
Well, so if they would have called the timeouts. Okay. So yeah, Notre Dame got the ball back with about a minute 45 ish, but it should have been down to at least either probably around a minute 10 with no timeouts roughly,
but instead, 30 or 40 seconds.
Okay, I was off by 30 seconds, right. But instead, they had a minute 50 to go with 2 timeouts. So Clemson just those were mental mistakes that a team like Clemson normally doesn't make. The holding penalty, you can't have it in that situation. Okay, again, if you're the lineman, if you get beat off your block, your running back gets tackled, so be it. And the running back's running out of bounds. That was just a gift. Because, okay, you're right, they could have called timeout. But even so, like, there was just so many little mental mistakes there that it was mind-blowing. But to give credit, as you mentioned, Chris, the Etienne and the Clemson offensive line got destroyed that game. Okay, both the secondaries looked bad. I mean, the Notre Dame secondary looked hideous. Clemson's defense, I'll give them a bit of a break because they had some key starters out. But from a passing perspective, I can't imagine when these teams play again what Trevor Lawrence is going to do that secondary. You got to be licking his chops. But the passing secondary was bad on both teams. But, yeah, the run game, right, it couldn't happen. And Etienne is a name we hear a lot, Chris, about he's one of the best running backs in the country. But from, yeah, for Notre Dame's a defensive line perspective, they had themselves a hell of a game. And Notre Dame's offensive line, you got to look at it. Kyren Williams, 23 for a buck 40. That's respectable. Book scampered a little bit, 15 carries, 68 yards. A lot of those probably weren't design plays. But overall, the lack of the clock management at the end really bit Clemson in the butt. Ian Book's fumble is lucky he didn't end up killing him. And and then you go into overtime, and the freaking Clemson scores on the first play. It's like, holy shit, like Notre Dame, what are you doing? But they came back. So Clemson gets the ball to start off OT. They score, well, or I think they scored, and then they had to review the play. We had like eight plays reviewed in overtime.
Oh, my God.
And I was, holy
felt
shit.
Felt like the NBA the last minute or whatever.
I know.
But
so,
way worse. Right,
so Clemson scores. Notre Dame answers, though. And then, obviously, when you're playing college football, you flip the script for who gets the ball first in the second overtime. So Notre Dame goes down and scores effectively again. And then, again, we're talking about offensive line, and we're pinpointing here, Chris, but they made a – I believe they had a tackle for a loss on first down, and then you had a big sack on second. And then you could kind of feel for the first time all night of like, okay, even Notre Dame's secondary, you can't screw this up. You're in overtime. It's like third and 21. You just play prevent defense and don't make a dumb mistake, and they barely held on. But from a college football fan perspective, despite Nick picking a fumble and some offensive line mistakes, it was a super fun game to watch. It was your classic taking punches back and forth, and even though defensive play wasn't great, it's still fun to watch offensive shootouts. Like, I thought the defense was bad, but who's ever not going to enjoy a game where you got the number one team on the ropes? It was a super fun game to watch, Chris. I do think that the Clemson kid, Uiagalelei, I believe that's saying it right, played pretty well. I mean, he was 29 of 44 for 439. Clearly, the kid had a pretty damn good day.
Yeah, when you're saying Lawrence is going to tear him up. It's like, well, I mean, you know, they got tore up pretty good. You know,
they did. I do think that Lawrence is probably a better quarterback. If you're Clemson, clearly they could play again easily in 3 to 4 weeks. But overall, a fun game to watch. I think that there could try to be some potentially different game plans for defenses. I know that football has changed to the point now where offenses are hard to stop, but I would imagine watching film, both of the defense coordinators were disappointed in their team's effort. Again, you give Clemson a bit of a break for having some starters out. But, hey, Clemson finally lost a regular season game. Sure, the backup was in. Sure, they're on the road. But for once, Clemson finally lost a conference game. Chris, the streak is over. I didn't listen to Dabo's press conference because I didn't care to. I'm sure he had some excuse of some unknown reason, man. But, hey, they took him down.
Like, just the fact that you're maybe going to play, pay these players, it's totally – I can't get him to focus now.
But from a Clemson standpoint, I'll throw it back to you. They're clearly not out of the national title hunt yet. Like, they dropped down to number four. But
because it was a tight game. And they didn't have the number one player in the country, that helps.
So from a Notre Dame perspective, Chris, is this a game? And this is how you started your intro into this: is that are they back on the map now? Was this a convincing win, like by Notre Dame, or a win of hey, you beat a backup, it was a close game? Like obviously they're confident either way, but is this like hey, Notre Dame can now go up against a Bama or a team like Bama, or was this hey, Notre Dame pulled it off, but I'm still not sure they could compete for a title again this year. Where are they at in your spectrum now after that win?
Well, this year, I think as long as you're in the hunt, you can win a title this year because you literally don't know who in those games are going to be on the field for a fact.
That's
and
true.
The
you're right.
Spread is not working or slowing down. And, I mean, like you said, there were some defensive guys out for Clemson. But literally, though, I got to give it up to go 91 yards and a buck 21. I don't care who was on the field. That was a damn good, sure. So, yeah, I do. I think the confidence is there. And then Book, he's been through the ringer for quite a while. And they have lost those big games. But it was just at the highest level. So, yeah, I think so. I also think that they can get beat. And I wouldn't doubt, when they go – more likely they're both going to win out. So, and I say that loosely because we don't know if they get a spread in their, you know, their team and some key guys. Who knows? But I think that they'll both win out, and then, like you said, there'll be a rematch, and more than likely Trevor Lawrence will be there. More than likely those guys that weren't there on defense will be there because that's December 19th, so it's still like 6 weeks away, 5 weeks away. And then I believe I'll still – I think I'll pick Clemson. And they could both go, you know. I mean, I think right now it kind of looks like Ohio's – if Alabama wins out, obviously, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, that's what it's kind of looking like to me. But you're right about that 39 straight regular season games gone, 28 wins versus ACC opponents, 25 wins in conference play straight up, and 14 of them were on the road. And they've actually had a nice little run. If you look, well, I know Notre Dame's had better than a nice little run as a program, because it's been around so long. It's had a lot of success, obviously. Just of late, they haven't done as much. But when you look at it, I'm trying to find the stat. They now have, I think it's three separate streaks they've shut down. Here it is. So where the hell is it? I'll find it later. I just lost it. But they've shut down Oklahoma, Miami, and Clemson now. As far as streaks that weren't that crazy. But we've been on this game for a while, so let's move on. I do kind of think – well, real quick, what do you think of – just speculation, obviously, at this point. But if Clemson was able to – if they're all Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson and Notre Dame, if Clemson beat Notre Dame, do you see that as a scenario that would be likely or more likely or less likely to happen? Do you think that I'm not – crazy to think that could happen, the Final Four there?
I think it'd easily be that, yeah. I don't think anyone as of now is going to give Ohio State a fight. So you're looking at Ohio State, Bama, and then, yeah, could be easily again be Clemson, Notre Dame.
Obviously, Clemson would have to beat Notre Dame, but
true,
you know, because I just don't know if anybody on the West Coast is, we know the Big 12's done. So, you know, USC or Oregon, I suppose you could make an argument for that. But when they're sitting on six wins, it's going to be a little tough to be like, hey, we're 6-0. Yeah, well, we're 10-0, and we've had it, you know, so it's a little funky. But anyway, part of the reason why this can happen, and it's not Georgia in that spot sneaking up, maybe if they were to beat Alabama in the rematch or something, is because Florida, who now has, I guess you could say, a lesser – or, you know, the loss, when you look at Notre Dame or Clemson, that's a lesser loss than A&M, who Florida lost to. 4-1 Florida now, beat up Georgia. Bennett, 5-16, a dumb pick. They had to go to the backup. We knew Bennett was not for real, but we just figured it was just going to be about Alabama. But, you know, that's where the bad game was, but they were actually leading that game. So it kind of made us felt like there's no way they're going to be able to stop them, and they'll be able to ball control them. But Trask came out 474 and four touchdowns. And they just, the funny thing is they got down 14-0. It was a touchdown on one play, a 3-and-out in like, what is it? Six play, 61 yard drive, 14-0. And you're thinking, wow, that's not a great way to start. Boom, touchdown. They respond, 3-and-out, touchdown. And then an interception touchdown is 21-14. And Florida just never really looked back and ran away with the game. So to me, this is this is pretty surprising. I mean, clearly time of possession, 37-22, three turnovers to one Georgia there. Look at this one right here, though. 2-13 on third down for Georgia, where 7-16 for Florida, but 29-12 for first downs, Marshall.
I can't take my eyes away from the number of Stetson Bennett was 5-16 for 78 yards. Holy God. And again, this is a Florida defense who has not been that great this year.
It's been horrible.
I know their numbers were okay against Mizzou, but I wish I'd known that before I made a bet on Missouri team total that game, but I didn't know that going into that game that Mizzou had three linemen out that game. So, okay. So from my perspective, I wish I wouldn't have ever bet that, because obviously even a good college football team or a bad team, if you have three linemen out, that changes your perspective. And I thought that the Mizzou coach was a little passive on his calls. But anyways, like, okay, so the Florida defense looked respectable against Mizzou. But up until that, they've been pretty bad. So, and Georgia, this is a Georgia team who one half went toe for toe with Bama. Again, Bama's defense isn't great, but like, this is a Georgia offense who, for the most part this year, Chris, has been respectable. Okay. Not great, but definitely Georgia's offense has been good. So where this Florida defense comes from, I'm not sure. Even against A&M, like that Florida game, that was like a track meet. Like, I don't know what came over Florida or Georgia, but I guess maybe they had a good game plan. Maybe the quarterback really had a letdown game, something. But yeah, to be 5 of 16 in college, that's just, man, that's rough. Now, to flip the script, no one has really slowed down Florida's offense yet this year. I'll give them credit there. When they lost to A&M, that was a game where it was like high 30s to 40s. So, I mean, you know, their offense for the most part has been good. Obviously people love Kyle Trask, people love Kyle Pitts, so that keeps going on and on. In fairness, Pitts only had two catches that game, but I will give,
well, he got knocked out of the game with a concussion
though. Oh, okay, well,
I mean, this guy got a concussion, he might be in the hospital and you're ripping him, come on now.
Okay, I watched a lot of college football. That was one game I did not watch. Okay, fair enough, I'll take the crow for that. But yeah, I'll give Florida's defense credit. That was a good win. Okay, obviously this is always a rivalry game. During a non-COVID year, you got the 50-50 crowd split, the world's largest cocktail party, even though they're not allowed to call it that anymore. So this normally is a big, fun rivalry game. But hey, I'll give Georgia some credit. I'll give Florida. I'm switching teams. I'm like being dyslexic with my football team today. I need to get my shit together. I'll give Florida credit. If you're Georgia, you now got two losses on the year. Your kind of last hope now is to try to win the SEC. If you can sneak in the SEC title game and upset Bama, that's kind of your last hope. Like, you know, we talked about how Auburn's season is essentially over from their loss perspective. Georgia's season now from a national title perspective is going down. You're right, Chris. That really is opening the door for Bama to kind of tie all this in together. The road for Bama gets easier. I guess Florida still has a chance there, but that was just a loss I didn't expect. I'm happy I didn't bet the game, because I probably would have taken Georgia with the points. But I guess, yeah, if you're Florida, Georgia's now screwed. They lost the tiebreaker.
They're screwed. They're
almost
and
done.
It's Arkansas, Vandy, Kentucky, and Tennessee, and LSU left on Florida's schedule.
Oh. So, all right,
George's done, because there's no way. I don't see Florida losing twice in that, and they'd have to.
You're right. Well, shit. If you're Georgia now, hell, you don't even get to play Bama.
Nope. You had your chance against Bama.
you better hope the Kyles both get sick or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I will give credit to Dan. Well, I'm going to give credit to Florida football. Dan Mullen's been crazy this year. But credit to the Kyles. Nice one by Florida. And, again, a good performance on defense, because we've not seen Georgia's offense look this bad at all.
Yeah, that's the biggest surprise, is that defense. Speaking of surprise, and I know of South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame got a huge one. And then Indiana, University of Indiana, got a humongous win, 38-21. And I say it's humongous, they're playing Michigan, but really it's still such a huge deal, period. Like, a lot of people thought, including us on the show here, we're going to eat some crow, that Michigan would just bounce back. They're not going to lose the Indiana. Indiana's 13. Maybe they should be there. Maybe they shouldn't. They beat Penn State. You know, it is what it is. And they come back and play better in the next game. They're up 24-7. Never really looked back. Even when they got it to 24-14, what did they go and do? The Hoosiers right back and scored another touchdown. I mean, they got it to 10 later in the game, but it never – and even when they got it to 10, what'd they do? Oh, nothing. We just got a pick six – or no, a pick, and then it was 38-21. Kudos to Indiana. Like I said, I'll eat plenty of crow on this one. And here's the key. Once again, when we talk about Clemson not being able to run the ball, 18 carries, 13 yards, 0.7 is what we're looking at, Marshall. 0.7 per carry. I mean, that is horrendous. I mean, when did Indiana become the fearsome, like this run defense, like they got the Williams wall for the Vikings back in the day not long ago, or obviously the purple people eaters. But Milton threw some picks. He did as good as he could. Penix played phenomenal, 30 of 50, 342, three touchdowns, and they ran the ball. I mean, Michigan's in trouble, dude. And maybe I really mean Harbaugh.
Yeah, every year we talk about how, well, the media talks about how is Harbaugh keep a job. This year, it's starting to look really, really dicey. Because this was a Michigan quarterback who was Harbaugh's own. Like, you know, the first couple of years there, he was trying to have a running attack with a quarterback, and he's not trying to have a passing attack. And he got the kid from Ole Miss, and now he's finally got his own guy, and his own guy has just been letting him down. I won't even really just go much on the inside of the game, but as we've said, Chris, before that we picked the last week, this was your typical call down spot. Two massive wins to start. They beat Penn State. They beat Rutgers. Okay, but you're 2-0. You're riding high. You're the big man on campus, and you're playing a team who had blown a 23-point spread loss to their rival. Like, it honestly, Chris, if we bet this game situation again, we hit probably 80% of our bets. You see it so much. You're riding high in college football, and you slip up. Like, this was the perfect spot for Michigan, and they lost, and it wasn't even close. Like, this is just bad. Again, if I hope this situation happens again, so we can bet it, just because, again, I would say 80% of the time you're gonna win your money, and this is that 20% where you lose your money, and it wasn't even close. I don't even know where to start. This is a team where, I mean, maybe this is the year you beat Ohio State, maybe, and that saves him. But I don't [S2] Sure. [S1] I think if he loses to Ohio State this year, I think he's got to go. You're regressing, and you've had a lot of excuses for you. And now, as you always say, Chris, there was a couple of two calls that could have flipped the script on his whole time in Michigan to beat Ohio State, but unfortunately, they both went against him. But if you're Michigan, I mean, where's your optimism now as a fan? Yeah, but I think besides Ohio State win, Harbaugh could really be looking at being done.
And they're spending a ton of money on him. And I just think, I'm not saying he's losing the locker room per se, but the hope, like when you come up so close to doing what they did a couple of years back, and then now it's like it's so much harder to get over the hump, and just one of those years go the other way, then these years don't matter as much because, hey, you got us there. You did this. True. You know?
Yes.
It doesn't affect you as much, but kudos to the Hoosiers. Kudos to the quarterback. Kudos to the program. I mean, I definitely underrated them. And just to follow up off that Notre Dame, since 1936, the poll era when it kicked in, it was 36 games, obviously, Clemson. Oklahoma, they ended. This is a 45-game regular season streak in 1957. They ended that one. And then Miami's 36-game winning streak in 1988 is what they ended. Here's a little bit more stats here. With the games we just talked about, Georgia had not allowed 400 yards passing in a game since 2009. They just let it go back-to-back games. And then Trask became the first SEC player in the history of four passing touchdowns in five consecutive games. Just a little backup on Indiana. Indiana beat Michigan for the first time since 1987, ending a 24-game losing streak, and beat the Wolverines by double digits for the first time since 1959. This comes from The Athletic, these stats. That's pretty freaking crazy. But you know how we talked about you know, Mississippi State's going to take over. Maybe that offense is actually just at Florida, and they're going to start taking over the SEC.
It could be. Maybe. It's something possible. And sure, Mississippi State, even though they won this past week, their offense is still far from being flashy. But you're right. Credit to Indiana, because even a diehard Hoosier football fan, I highly doubt you would have predicted you'd be 3-0 with wins over Penn State and Michigan to start off your year. That's a good story. I like those stories in college football, especially in the year of 2020. Maybe we'll get a Indiana-Ohio State Big Ten title game, which I doubt few people were expecting.
That can't happen anyway.
You're right. Well, maybe this is your Indiana upsets Ohio State. They always
that
play them tight.
So awesome.
God, that would be – I would love that. that'd actually be beautiful. Speaking of Michigan, and I got a big smile on my face, Chris, you probably know where I'm going. This upcoming week, Michigan plays Penn State. In case you're wondering, I'm not a huge James Franklin fan, who is the head coach of Penn State. And also, in case you're wondering, Penn State's 0-3. So Penn State actually has a worse record than Michigan. You might ask yourself, who did Penn State lose to this week? I'll gladly tell you. They lost to Maryland. Not only did they lose to the Turtles, shout out to Juan Dixon from our college basketball glory days. Penn State lost to the Maryland Turtles as about a 27-point favorite. So the knucklehead moron coach blew it against Indiana, who's now let Indiana become happy. They got outplayed by Ohio State. It wasn't a massacre, but Ohio State beat them. And then a 27-point favorite. And we saw this. Your Gophers played Maryland. Maryland's defense was not good. Now, I'll admit the Gophers' defense around too. That game was a shootout. Yeah. But you were down 35-7 to the Maryland Turtles. Credit to the Maryland. Hell, maybe Tua's brother is going to be a stud. But
he might be a system fit or something, but something's going on over there.
He's a quick little dude. That dude knows how to scramble. He knows how to break out the pocket like he's an NFL guy. His pocket presence is not regular college stuff. That dude is quick. So he's fun to watch. But nonetheless, you're a 27-point favorite and you lost. Tough shit, Franklin. Tough shit. I'm happy for Maryland. I'm happy Penn State lost. And yes, Michigan, Chris, despite how bad they are, imagine if they don't lose to Penn State. That would be the ultimate gut shot. That could happen this week, too. Where, hey, Michigan, you're having a bad year, and now you lose to a Penn State team who's 0-4. Harbaugh might not survive this week.
I mean, honestly, that's not that far off. You know, that's a good point. And just to add into this, Penn State, their first time 0-3 since 2001. Speaking of 2001, we'll flash to 2000. Northwestern is 3-0 in the Big Ten play for the first time since 2000, which is pretty crazy. Iowa State got a W, 38-31. They're having a great season over Baylor, just to clean that up. Iowa State has never reached the Big 12 championship game. And it hasn't won a conference. It hasn't won a conference game since 1912. So that's a long time, just in general. But yeah, 5-1, first time since they've been in the conference. And speaking of crazy up and down type games, that NC State Miami game, NC State got up on a couple of Miami ended up. A lot of it had with DeAndre King, 400 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, and he rushed. It's only 4 other players have done this since 2000 to at least throw for 400, to have 5 touchdowns and rush for 100 yards twice. He's done that once here and once in Houston. And if he keeps doing it, this freaking guy's not going to come back for his last freaking year of eligibility. But hey, you know, I understand it. The height thing is what keeps them maybe from being a second round pick or something like that. But, crazy, crazy weekend. You know, Oregon took care of business against Stanford, looked pretty good. That wild ending, the last 3 minutes, ASU just let that game slip away. USC got it done 28-27, But one of the wildest ending was Liberty and Virginia Tech. Liberty, I think, playing if it was their first game or their second game as a ranked team, because it hasn't even been in football that long. They've been putting up points. We've mentioned that a little bit, but it's 35-35. Liberty has a long-ass kick. I think it was 50-some yards, 50 yards. And so the play happens. Liberty got Virginia Tech, blocked the kick, scooped it, and scored a touchdown. The game would have been over. Here's the problem. Virginia Tech called a timeout trying to ice the frickin' kicker. And next thing you know, Liberty wins it 38-35.
Speaking of teams choking as huge favorites, Va Tech was a 24-point favorite.
Yep.
So,
and we looked at that one.
So far in our podcast this year, Michigan losses anywhere between a 21 to 25-point favorite when you were, depending when you bet it, at versus Sparty. Fucking Penn State blew a 27-point favorite game.
Oklahoma, too. Oklahoma.
Hell, Oklahoma blew a 24-point game. Your Gophers were favored by 17 against frickin' the Turtles. Man, if you bet the Turtles to win games this year, you're rich. You got rent paid for. God bless you. And this game, you had 24 points. Now, again, we both thought that spread was high. I remember talking about on the show, we thought, okay, maybe Va Tech has some of their secondary back. That leads to this why, you know, because Va Tech's secondary has been torched quite a bit this year. But they had a lot of COVID people out. And so maybe they got their players back. Well, Liberty kept scoring anyways. And to give Liberty credit, they're not even an FBS school. They're an FCS. Like, this is a school that's essentially supposed to be like a tier below, like, all these other schools. So you're a tier two school in theory, and you're now ranked in the D1. Like, that's awesome. Hugh Freeze will be back at a big school in the next couple of years, Chris. Clearly, you're someone's always going to give you a second chance, but what he's doing in Liberty for the past couple of years now is amazing. And yes, the freeze and the kicker part, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's a 50-50 craps roll in Vegas. Who knows? But credit to them to keep winning. You murdered Syracuse. You won last week in a game you should have won. And now you pull off a massive upset. What a fun story. And they should actually end up being in a really nice bowl game, like for a team.
And they are FBS now. They a couple of years ago they changed. They are.
Okay. Well, that's why I do see a lot of sporting apps that need to get their stuff together, because I know like on the Scores app and some different gambling apps, they still post them as an FCS school. So, nonetheless, they're a fun underdog story to enjoy. And again, shout out to them. Your offense is working. Your defense maybe won't be that special, but if you're putting up points week on, week out against top-tier teams who are supposed to be above you, that's a good story to see. So I'm happy for Liberty. Good for them.
No doubt. And, dude, last week, out of nowhere almost, 10 different games did not happen, whether they're canceled, whether postponed. I think the highest we got so far was 6. It makes sense now that the Big Ten and Pac-12 are back, that there'd be even more. I'm looking around, and there was one or two Pac-12s, an ACC, and then a bunch of smaller schools. But 10 different. There's already 2 not happening next week. We'll see if that changes, because it's only Monday. A fun back-and-forth game with Colorado-UCLA, 48-42. That was a pretty fun one. The Washington State-Oregon State, I did watch that a little later. There was another fun game. Who knows what the hell is going to happen in the Big Ten? Because like I said earlier, Michigan State comes off a nice win, right? And then Iowa, who's looked pretty bad this year, they beat up Michigan State 49-7. Like, who the hell knows what's going to happen? Anything else you want to talk about for this week before we get into week 11, sir?
Unfortunately, my boy Lane Kiffin had a bye week. So I don't get to have an Ole Miss break. I know I can see your shit grin from 2,000 miles away in Texas. And Clay Helton almost blew the week 1 game for USC, so I'm not surprised at all about that. And Mizzou didn't play either. So all my teams I love, I don't have much of a recap. And our Raging Cajuns got another dub. We're 6-1 on the year, 4-1 in the Sun Belt. So our adopted team from about 7 years ago Our Ragin' Cajuns are still contending for a Sun Belt title again this season, my friend.
Yes, sir. And Minnesota did get their stuff together defensively. Mo Ibrahim is just a beast. If you look at his numbers the last two games, do yourself a favor if you're a stat junkie. Week 11, throughout the top 25, as I mentioned, there is no ranked versus ranked. However, you could make the argument that maybe a team should be ranked, but they weren't, you know, in the games weren't getting played yet, so they weren't ranked. Or we could maybe speak about that, but I really, it is what it is. That's not to say, though, this year in particular, that stuff can't just randomly happen. I think the theme is there. Just looking at some of these games, though, Marshall, Indiana, 7.5-point favor over Michigan State, who only looked good in one game. That's not the craziest thing. I could see that happening. Here's one, Virginia Tech, who always usually plays Miami pretty tough. They're actually a 2.5-point favorite at home against 6-1 Miami. Maybe it was last week that they think they showed enough weakness. Maybe, you know, maybe that will be the case. Boston College is okay. Maybe Notre Dame's, you know, on a high point, but that 13.5-point, maybe they could actually sneak under that. I come to this game, Maryland and Ohio State. Now, it feels like Ohio State's going to beat them, right? But are they going to beat them, Marshall, by 26 points? It's 25.5. I know this is Ohio State. If Tua's brother, we're going to start saying his normal name rather than just calling him. If they show up and put up 30 points in this game, we're going to have to start to just not refer to him as Tua's brother. 25.5 points? Are we sure? Are we sure Ohio State can win by 25.5?
That's a lot of generous points, and it's at Maryland. I mean, I know Maryland really doesn't have much of a home field advantage, but you're not at Ohio State. And Ohio State did just beat Rutgers 49-27. So you beat Rutgers by 22. Pretty much for the last couple of seasons, Ohio State has just like ran through Rutgers and Maryland. And I mean, Rutgers, it's not like they had a chance to win, but they played respectably. So yeah, I could see Maryland hanging in there with that spread. Maybe put him in like a teaser and get him to like cover like 30 points. Like, I don't think that'd be outlandish for us to assume that, you know, that Tua's younger brother, he's going to make some plays happen. He's got the legs, he's got the talent. Maryland's got to be playing with all the confidence in the world after all the upsets they've had. Again, I would not expect a loss. If Ohio State loses to Maryland, dude, this year, I guess you could call it like 2020.
There might be an asterisk. Asterisk in this year.
It's become a trendy thing now to say, oh, only in 2020. If freaking Ohio State loses to Maryland, it really is 2020. I don't know. But yes, I would enjoy looking at that spread. I think that's maybe being a little.
So you're still on, but I can't hear you. You're still on the line.
That.
Oh, there we go. I lost you there for a second. I lost you about 5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
But you're back on. Another couple things here. We will get to the crappy pick of the week. SMU 7-1 going against Tulsa, who is pretty good. They're 3-1. They're favored 2.5 points there. That's kind of interesting. And then Purdue is 2-0. Northwestern, we talked about how they're having a good season. They're only favored by 3 on the road. Once again, in Indiana, right? But here it is. Wisconsin, who looked phenomenal in their first game, albeit against, you know, a crappy team in Illinois. But they're only a 3.5-point favorite at Michigan. In Michigan, I don't believe in Michigan and Illinois and Michigan are the reason why the Big Ten got delayed. Their doctors in their hospitals said, nah, dude, it's not happening. And so I say that to think that I doubt that there's going to – is Michigan 20%? I don't believe it is. I could be wrong, though, but I don't believe it is as far as their crowd. So Wisconsin's only going to win by 3.5, but here's the kicker. I don't – okay, when was that? So one, two, three. Is there starting quarterback back, though? So they played 10-23 in that first week, and then games got suspended. So actually – or got postponed – oh, no, actually just canceled.
I don't think he's allowed back yet.
Because you got to be 3 weeks.
Three games.
Yeah, you got to be 3 weeks. But wouldn't this – oh, yeah, 3 weeks in a row because that was 20 – well, you know what? Is it three games or is it days? Because I think it is three games because they did play on a Friday too. So wouldn't that be crazy if they said, well, it's 3 weeks. 3 weeks. It's been 3 weeks. We're going to have to play them. And so that's why. It just clicked right there. That's why it's such a close game because they're on their third string quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michigan or not Wisconsin, like, dude, that kid came out and was like 24 of 25. Like, people thought, oh my God, Wisconsin has a quarterback this year. And then, of course, you and I have both been to Madison. It's a fun college city, to put it nicely. He went out and got a little too intoxicated on State Street, of course, got COVID, and you go from being the hot shot stud on town to, oh, you're now on COVID protocol. You're a college kid that had an elite game. Can you blame the kid for going to party? Probably not. But was it the smartest football decision? Probably not either. Because Wisconsin, they're a team hanging in there for this year. Hey, this could be our chance for a title year. I mean, I know they still would have to deal with Ohio State, but you're off to a good start this year. You know, Wisconsin always has a good defense. I mean, not an easy schedule, but it'd be a bummer to lose this game because your quarterback can't play and then you come back and kind of went out. So who knows? But yeah, I would do a little research of who can play for Wisconsin if you're going to bet that game. Look at the quarterback situation. Obviously, the quarterback currently they have set up to go is going to be a step down. But hell, we don't. There could be more games canceled now. I know, like last week, the Pac-12 was supposed to have a full slate, and I know on Thursday evening and Friday morning, the Pac-12 canceled some games.
Yeah, so two games right now. There's two canceled not going to happen this week just on the schedule, and it's Monday. And that was, I think there was only one or two at this time to further your point, and we ended up with 10.
And that's the tough part about betting now. We talked about this, I think, on like the second podcast of the year, that if you're going to bet college football, you really got to wait till, and I know some people say, oh, you got to bet the line value, like make a bet Monday before people jump on it, which normally applies. But what if the quarterback for a team you bet on, and you get your value, what if he's out? Or what if, like, Vautech, when they lost all their secondary, like, what if your team gets the bug? Like, hell, there's talk that they're not even going to have Bama LSU could be postponed this week or canceled because of LSU's COVID. Like, you really don't know. And betting college football this year is really dicey until kickoff just because anything can happen. And on top of it, in the NFL, they kind of make that kind of known. In college football, a lot of these coaches don't say shit. Like, they don't want you to know anything. So you could be betting a team who has COVID issues, and your coach isn't going to say whether it's the O lineman or the defensive backs or a quarterback. So be patient. Again, Wisconsin could easily win, but I would be hesitant to bet it until we're getting closer to Friday night and we're feeling more confident as to how they're going. I did see a report, Chris, saying that as of today, the Badgers only had 5 positive tests. So they had 5 positive. That means looking forward, things are going okay. But if every player who had COVID has to sit out, you're getting a much less talented Badger team. So, yeah, I don't know, brother. I will say, as we're speaking of lines and going through games, because there's not that elite matchup we're used to having. There's not as many. Kentucky's -17 against Vandy, and I know that's a lot of points, but this is a Vandy team who, what have they shown this year to make you even want to bet them? And you're playing against a Kentucky team who has probably the best defense in the SEC or one of the top two. So if we're talking betting, I know 17 points is a lot, but Kentucky's going to get theirs against Vandy, and I don't see Vandy's team doing much anything at all against Kentucky's defense. So maybe put that in a teaser, like find another team you like and bet Kentucky down to like -10 or -11. That'll be my lock for the week. Put Kentucky in a teaser or just bet them straight up -17. Cause when you have one of the best defenses in the whole conference, versus the team who has the worst defense in the whole conference, I really like can cover the spread this week, my friend.
All right, let's make some predictions, and then we'll get to the crafty, crappy pick of the week because we are hitting the 50-minute mark. Miami, Virginia Tech, who do you like in that one?
Hell, Virginia Tech was embarrassing against North Carolina. They lost to Liberty, which is not an embarrassing loss, but still a loss. I could not bet Virginia Tech. I got to go with your Canes just because offensively, I think they're going to score on Vautech. Vautech's defense has had issues all year, so I'll take your Hurricanes.
I'm with the Canes too. Do you think Indiana will not have a, you know, sleeping, you know, demon when Michigan State jump up on them? Do you think they'll have, will they be hung over or not? Or will they get the job done against Michigan State?
Well, Sparty got they got torched too. No, I'll keep rolling the dice with Indiana. I will. Michigan State got embarrassed in Iowa. So yeah, I'll take the Hoosiers.
And then Wisconsin, Michigan, it's such a tough one to call because we haven't seen the quarterback, but we sure have seen plenty of the Wolverines. What do you think here? I mean, I all of a sudden like this spread because you're like, yeah, it kind of is a pick'em game with on your third string quarterback.
Oh Jesus. And I apologize because earlier in the show I did say that Michigan was going to play Penn State. That was a slip up on my part. That game I'd misread my schedules. I thought they were playing each other, which would have been epic. But that game is in a couple of weeks. I would check who you're going to bet and see the quarterback situation. If Hurts can come back and play, Wisconsin's a valuable option. If you have a third-string quarterback against a Michigan team that's probably trying to do all they possibly can for a win, I wouldn't bet the game. I will pick – I wouldn't touch the damn game. If I had to pick, I would take Michigan just because I'm not sure of the injuries and the COVID rules that apply. Because unlike the SEC, the Big Ten is super strict. I believe the Big Ten said if a player gets a positive COVID test, you must miss three games.
And it shuts down the roommates too, because they come in, they come in contact.
So I think you could have a Wisconsin game this week, but you're facing you could be having a Wisconsin team that's like 70% of their skills and talent. So yeah, that's tough and dicey. Either much, hard spot.
Now they run the shit out of the ball, but yeah, for some reason I'm gonna pick Michigan.
Okay. Do your research. Wait till you can find out Saturday morning. Hey, Michigan starting so and so, and or see who Wisconsin starting as well, just to have a little bit of a better angle on. If not, you're flipping a quarter to win that bet. Unfortunately.
No doubt. All right, let's get to the crafty, crappy pick of the week and shut this one down here, sir.
All right. Well, last week, speaking of Vandy, Vandy did lose. Unfortunately, Mississippi State's so bad. Hell, they only scored 24 points on Vandy. And Mississippi State won 24-17. Didn't quite cover the spread. Unfortunately, all the former mobsters and proud alumni of Mississippi State didn't quite come through. But we did pick the technical winner, so I guess that was kind of a good and a bad.
He set me up to fail. Is what happened. But we'll move on.
Now, okay. We're going back to now. This is some big news here. We're going back to another major conference. But
here we fight. It better not be a 14-point spread, or I'm not picking it. How about that?
That's fair. That's fair. I wouldn't do that to you 2 weeks in a row. But these are two shit teams. Now we normally find like the Sun Belt or like the conferences no one's ever heard of. We normally have like the Middle Tennessee or Rice or like, you know, hell, random schools. But these are schools people know. But this is one of the worst games on the map this week, which actually is going to be played in my backyard. Okay, so we have a relative backyard in the state of Texas. We got the Baylor Bears, who are 1-4 this year, who are pretty damn abysmal, against a Texas Tech team who, if you didn't recall, blew a 14-point lead with 3.5 minutes to go against Texas and lost in overtime. So are these big name schools? Yes. Are these shitty schools this year? 100%. So Chris, again, this is only a 1.5 point spread. We're going big schools here, but this truly is a crappy game if you look at their win-loss records this year. So we got Baylor at 1-4 against a Texas Tech team that's 2-5. We're going to Lubbock, Texas. This is a
and that's all the way open, right? It's all the way open there.
God, we have a million people with Corona, so I'm sure it'll be a packed stadium with like God knows what to expect in Texas. We're such a mess in this state. It's a 3 p.m. Central Time kick. Now, normally all of our games we pick for the crappy pick of the week are ESPN Plus. This game is on FS1, Chris, so we're getting a little more credibility. You can actually watch this game. But I feel bad for FS1 that they were stuck with this game because, again, out of 9 games played, these teams have – or out of 12 games played, these teams have won 3 total. So it's not exactly a high-flying affair. But what's your gut say, man? Red Raiders, Baylor Bears, I believe this is the first appearance for both of these teams on the crappy pick of the week.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it is definitely crappy. I mean, I did breeze by one that would fit old school, but like I like doing this. I like doing this once in a while, as long as, like you said, it's not a setup. You know what I mean? Like you set me up last week. But, I mean, Baylor hasn't won since the opener. So that's never good. And like you said, Texas Tech, they've been in some games. They weren't in that Oklahoma game. Yeah, this is definitely it, no doubt about it.
Texas Tech almost lost to Houston. They beat Houston Baptist by 2 points.
And they give up 40 points a game. They give up 40 points a game. Baylor can't run the ball, only 88 yards in college. That is actually really bad. The defense passing Texas Tech can pass and run. So they got a better offense, but not really. I mean, it's 30 points to 27, but their defense is just garbage. They're giving up 300 yards in the air and 175 on the ground. However, Baylor's giving up 181 on the ground. So, I mean, this is truly a crappy game, no doubt about it. I'm going to go with the team that's lost 4 games in a row, which is always kind of fun when you do these games because you're like, how confident am I that they're going to win when they haven't won 4 games in a row? However, it's only been 1 win. It was a quality win, though, against West Virginia. That's pretty quality, relatively speaking.
True. They're a good team.
So yeah. I'm like, ugh, Texas Tech did beat them. Shit. But you know what? Your time has come. Is it the Golden Bears? It is the Golden. No, it's just the Bears.
It's just the Bears, yeah.
Who the hell is the Golden Bears? Is that California? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going with Baylor. I'm going with Baylor on the road. I don't see – oh, there's the Vivid Seats. Starting as low as $81. Man, do they jack these tickets. That means there is actually like – it sits 60,000. It may seat 45,000 for this game. I'm going to go Baylor. I'm going with the Baylor Bears to finally get a W. Their only win – I shouldn't have checked this. Their only win is against Kansas, and we know they suck. They are horrible. I'm going to go with Baylor to get this W, sir.
And as I've liked to wrap it up this year, we do a battle of alumni. All right, so we're starting off with Texas Tech alumni. Somehow, in God's name, Rick Husband is the leading alumni person on Texas Tech. I've never heard of him.
He has a picture.
He's an American astronaut and a fighter pilot.
That's legit, I guess. I just never heard of him.
And unfortunately,
this is why I think you picked this game. This is why I thought you picked this game, because you saw some like really nice stars or something.
No, this guy actually was involved in a space deal where him and the rocket all exploded and they all passed away.
Jesus. Yeah. I actually do.
A rocket called the Columbia. Dear Lord. That's awful. All right.
All right. Let's keep the spirit a little higher. Jesus Christ.
We have the actor from CSI, one of the CSI actors. We also have Cheryl Swoopes, okay, a respectable basketball player. Wes Welker, okay, a good football player. Yep. John Denver. John Hinckley Jr. Not exactly back to positive.
John Denver should have been up there first. Sorry.
I agree. Brad Leland, who was the Buddy Garrity from Friday Night Lights. And then we get a bunch of people I'm not aware of. Let's do one more. We got good old Cliff Kingsbury, Michael Crabtree. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is from, you can go an NFL route. And that's about it for, Oh, and an FSN reporter, Emily Jones, who does a good job. All right. So,
if we went the NFL route, they're pretty healthy.
Yeah, you're right. And you had Mahomes and Baker. Correct. Yeah, NFL route, it's pretty good.
I misheard you. I thought you were naming Baylor's.
Oh, no.
I didn't know you were stashing Mahomes. That's why I would have said something. Okay. I was like, what do you mean you just throwing Mahomes late? He's number one.
Well, he was on the third click of pages for the Texas Tech alumni.
Wow.
We really got to start talking to these Google people, because I think when you Google a school's alumni, you really got to put the top people up front.
Yeah. I mean, do you want them to come to your school or not? Your budgets are fucked up right now. You better get more people in your school.
Mahomes is on your third roll page of alumni? That's disrespectful. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Hell, wasn't even Baker or Texas Tech. They got to improve their shit for Google. All right. Yeah. For Baylor alumni, the first name mentioned is Angela Kinsey. Janet from The Office. Okay, so she was a popular actress. Like, yeah, it was a good show, but I don't know if she's number one. Comedian Jeff Dunham, number two. RG3, number three. A lady named Joanna Gaines, who is on the Fixer Upper HGTV show. Good old Rand Paul. People either like him or hate him. I'll leave politics out of this episode. Trey Wingo from ESPN. Quincy Acey, who's a basketball player. Baylor's had a couple of basketball players here and there, obviously. Brittany Griner, a very, very, very talented WNBA player.
Who could kick your ass?
Willie Nelson. And then there's
Willie should be number one. Should be number one. Wow. We gotta figure this Google shit out, dude.
He's on the third roll too. So we got a battle of Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson and Mahomes are both on your third row. That is such a slap in the face to two great men. I'm just being honest, Chris.
That's so crazy. Like, you'd think don't you want admission? Like, dude, man, wow.
So in the battle of Willie Nelson against Mahomes, who do you side with, my friend?
I mean, Willie's been doing it for longer, I'll say that. And he's still alive. So I guess I'd do Willie. But Mahomes is this freaking guy in about a season is going to have all the records, it feels like.
He quietly has 28 touchdowns and one interception this year, and it's not like people even know about it.
That is crazy.
I guess we'll go we'll go with Baylor for the win, Texas Tech credit for alumni, and help. Put Mahomes as the first person on your sheet. I mean, you have people who are probably Googling, who went to college here? Like, I want to check it out as an interested high school kid. And you're like, Mahomes is on third page, man. They must be a loaded school. No, not really. Google's just slacking for some reason. I'm not sure why. But on that note, as Chris has said many times, since we've done this podcast for over 7 years now, when there's a lot of games that don't have the sexy matchup with rankings, we normally have a really fun show the next week. That there's some upsets going to happen. Something crazy is going to occur. Hell, it seems like every week we have a 24-point favorite losing games this year. So you're going to be in for a good week of college football despite the lack of matchups. We would talk about Alabama, LSU, but that's a 28-point spread. So until then, stay safe. Huh? What'd you say, brother?
Oh, I was saying that's nuts that we didn't even really talk about that game, dude. That usually is the game. This will be like the first and last time that happens.
But as it's a 28-point spread, and LSU is in fear of not playing the game because they've had COVID all year. So, yeah.
And they've been right, consistently though. Shitty.
True. So, until then, wear a mask. Stay safe. The numbers are skyrocketing. So, we all want, hopefully, this football season to finish and people to stay safe and avoid hospitals and all that good stuff. So, wear a mask. Stay safe. Enjoy the upcoming holidays with your families. The boys are out tonight. Peace.